Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
The Senate has now paved the way for homosexual men and women to serve openly in the military. What does it mean for America? What does it mean for the military? And how should the Church of Jesus respond? You'll find out today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
We were going to have our debate about Christmas, whether Christians should celebrate Christmas or not. We're going to have that today, but we're putting that off until tomorrow because of the big vote over the weekend, the Senate's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The House had previously passed this. The Senate then ratified it. It is now going to the desk of our president to be signed. The military has to assure that everything can go well with the transition. But this is big, big news. We're going to talk about it and hopefully bring you some really important perspectives today. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call with your feedback, input, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, or on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown. All right. We've touched on this over the months, but not focused on it tremendously. Many other issues, moral, social issues, of course, we've looked at, and those things having to do with gay activism we've looked at. But we must take some time to look at this today, and in particular, I want to give you some reflections as believers how we should respond. Now, when I put the question up on Facebook when the vote came on Saturday, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which came into practice under President Clinton in 1993, President Obama pledged that he would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He got a lot of criticism from gay activist groups for not working enough on it in the first year. Now, before the second year is out, this has been passed. It looked like just over a week ago that Congress would not be able to move this forward. This was tied in with another bill. Republicans were able to stop it. There was a lot of rejoicing. Okay, it's not going to happen. The new Congress coming in 2011 will certainly not go in this direction. And then for passionate reasons by Senator Harry Reid and others, this had to get through. And looked like it could be a close vote. What's going to happen? Suddenly a bunch of Republicans swung over. The vote was not even close. There was no opportunity to filibuster to stop the vote. Is it such a big deal, though? Did Jesus die on the cross to keep homosexuals from serving openly in the military? And perhaps we're overreacting. Perhaps we're making a mountain out of a molehill. Perhaps, as in other countries, even countries with top militaries like Israel, perhaps this will be a non-event. There was an ad that was run by gay activist groups with testimonies from leaders from other countries saying that the whole thing, what's going to happen? Homosexuals serving openly in the military, it's going to be the end of the world. Hey, it was no big deal. It was a non-event. Maybe it'll be the same here. Maybe this is just typical right-wing extremism. Maybe, as Speaker Pelosi said, that the American people were ahead of Congress because 8 in 10 Americans didn't seem to have any problem with homosexual men and women serving openly in the military? Or is this just another example of the degree to which our culture has been brainwashed? I wrote down five reflections Saturday afternoon after the vote. I went to prayer, wrote down five reflections, and then I wrote down five more. So I've got, I think 10 points here I'm going to talk to you about during the show. But I would like to hear from you in particular. I've heard from many online already, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to call in particular if you are currently in the military or if you are a family member of someone in the military or if you are a veteran or if you are thinking of going into the military. So I know that's a lot of different categories, but they all have this in common: military service. Any branch of the military. Again, if you are currently in the military, have a family member currently in the military, you are a vet, or you are thinking of planning of going into the military, what do you think about the fact that homosexual men and women can now serve openly in the military if everything goes through in terms of being signed and passed on in the coming days? It may take up to a year to implement. What's your take on that? 866-34-TRUTH. Kate Kendall, the executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, said debate over the military policy, quote, ignited a national conversation not just about the ability of lesbians and gay men to be good soldiers, but about the underpinnings of all sorts of government-sanctioned discrimination. Remember that quote. We're going to talk about it more as the show goes on. Nancy Pelosi, outgoing Speaker of the House, said this. I think people will see this vote as a celebration of our country. Passing this bill makes America stronger in every way, not just national security, but in our values. Frankly, it's a boost of morale for the nation and will be remembered as a defining time when we said no to discrimination. This is saying no to discrimination. Now, I want to open up the phones for one other group of people. If you are homosexual man or woman yourself, bisexual, transgender, although this the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell doesn't address transgender issues here, but if you are gay, lesbian yourself, whether you served in the military or not, I'd be very happy to hear your take on this. We've talked in past weeks about some of the reactions from military leaders, the heads of the different branches of military, and some were positive, hey, this is not going to be a problem, this is going to move forward well. Others, the majority, in fact, were very strongly negative, especially in the Marines. So we'll get some feedback. We've got a Navy vet, John. You'll be on first. We'll put these calls right to the top of the list. But I want to say plainly to every person who identifies as homosexual that wants to serve in our military and wants to fight for our country, I appreciate that. I honor the fact that your blood could be shed the same way as the blood of a heterosexual. And from a spiritual point of view, I always want to say plainly, Jesus shed the same blood for heterosexual and homosexual alike. And when a vet dies in the field of service or seeking to defend our country, no one's asking whether that person was straight or gay. We appreciate the service. We appreciate the sacrifice. That's not the question. The question is this really a big deal? Is it that the military is the last bastion of morality, the last bastion of enforced standards? I mean, you can be kicked out of the military for drug use. You can be kicked out of the military for adultery, as well as for being openly gay, at least up until now. So is this now going to open the door for the flood of gay activism like we've never seen it through our nation? Is this going to put people in jeopardy in terms of freedom of religion, chaplains in terms of freedom of speech, etc.? There are major, major concerns being raised. First, I want to get your take. I want to read you some concerns that others have raised. And then in the second half of the show, I want to give you my perspective. But first, I want to hear from each of you that has something to say on this that is especially relevant. John in Lincolnton, North Carolina, I understand you're a Navy vet. Thank you for calling, sir.
Yes, sir. Please pardon the voice. I'm getting over laryngitis.
Well, I'm glad you're getting over it before the holidays.
Amen, brother. Two tours in the Navy. The first tour was on the aircraft carrier Nimitz back in the early 80s. That was back when it's not even polite to mention some of the exams we went through going into the Navy to ensure that people did not participate in homosexual activity. Looking back, I almost want to compare this to the stigma of allowing women to serve in combat positions, because it interferes with cohesion in the fighting unit, whereas a man can fight alongside his brother in arms, and if his brother in arms is struck down, he will continue to fight in his honor. If a woman is struck, the man's natural God-given proclivity is to stop and protect her. That puts his life on the line. If a person who, heaven forbid, might be AIDS infected is hit, would you want to risk getting their blood all over you and possibly infecting you to save his life? That is the fear, the number one thing that came to my mind.
So this would, just in your own mind, this would be an issue for unit cohesion, and even concerns of personal safety would be magnified because of this decision.
Yes.
Got it. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Rest your voice and have a blessed Christmas.
God bless. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. All right. Again, if you are a vet, if you are currently in the military, family of a military member, or considering going into the military, I'd love to hear your take. And please feel free to differ with me. Please feel free. If you just tuned in and think, what is this right-wing fanatics of a hateful bigot? I'm going to set this guy straight. Hey, the phone lines are open to you as well. 866-34-TRUTH. And trust me, I believe I have some important perspective to bring to this. I'll be getting to your calls, reading some concerns raised in the news, and then giving you my reflections. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us for this important discussion today of the Senate's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which will allow for homosexual men and women to serve openly in the military. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. In particular, if you are in the military yourself or a vet or family of military or planning to go into the military, want to take your calls first today on the Line of Fire. Also, if you are, you identify as gay, lesbian, or part of the gay lesbian community and would like to weigh in with your perspective, I am very happy to hear that as well. You can go online to askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and get into the discussion right there. Again, a momentous vote, a vote that has gay leaders saying that this is a major, major civil rights victory. I can assure you, that this will be a major thrust forward for gay activism in America. This will be a wedge issue. I'll share more with that, more of that with you in the next half hour. But first, back to the phones. Lydia in Jacksonville, thank you so much for calling. What's your take on this?
Hi, Dr. Brown. I first of all just want to say thank you for standing up for righteousness and doing it in love and humility.
Well, thanks, Lydia. And bottom line is we're all graciously forgiven by God. So any stance other than loving humility, we've deceived ourselves already.
Amen.
And you've got a husband in the military?
Yes, I have a husband in the military, and I also was at one point in the military as well.
Okay, and what branch of service is for you and your husband?
Do I have to say?
No, you don't have to say.
I just kind of want to protect him. So.
No, perfectly fine. So, yeah, please give me your take.
Okay, well, the main thing that comes to me is that in the Word, in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, says, wherefore
yes.
God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves for changing the truth of God into a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, I really believe that this happening, especially in the military, which is our defense, is the judgment of the Lord for people not truly loving the Lord with all their heart.
And Lydia, how do you think your husband will feel in terms of his ongoing service? Will this affect him at all or affect decisions he makes concerning continuing in the military?
Oh, absolutely. I really think it's going to affect the morale. Especially just having the right to speak up against something and having that right taken away in the name of calling it hate speech instead of being able to talk to somebody and bring them to Christ. I think that really will affect him as well as I know a lot of the people that he's talked with. So I really think that it really would affect him.
All right. Hey, Lydia, thank you for weighing in. Thanks for your service and your husband's service. And make sure you listen to the second half of the show. Hopefully what I say will strengthen you and encourage you further, okay?
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless. Thank you. Darlene, Amelia Island, Florida. I understand you have a lot of military family. I'd love to hear your take.
Yes, sir. I do have a lot of military family, and a great many of them are in the Navy and in Submariner service specifically. And this is going to have a tremendous impact on the Submariners. It's going to talk about being a problem with morale. That's not even scratching the surface.
Could you expand on that for a minute? Because you have a perspective that most of our listeners don't have. Why would this be such a blow to morale?
You have men who are living in a very tiny capsule. Okay, they are insulated and encapsulated away from the rest of the world for months at a time. They have to be able to depend on each other, and to have that thrown into the mix is not a good thing. You were talking earlier about Christ shed his blood for homosexuals. Christ shed his blood that all people who would believe unto repentance could get saved.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Scripture, homosexuality is an abomination to God. That's his take on it. It is an abomination to him. If you have a person who is a homosexual who wants to repent and get saved, that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It absolutely can happen and does happen. And that's a blessing. But when you take, the other lady was talking about, you throw into the mix not being able to try to guide people that are of that persuasion away from it and to Christ by calling it a hate crime, that's not fair.
Just the pressure that's on people about their views and the re-education that has to happen in the military to say, okay, this has to be accepted. You can't have a moral difference with this. I mean, aside from just the living quarter issues and all the things, you don't have men and women living together and showering together for obvious reasons. You don't have two straight guys going to get into a romantic relationship with each other. You just, you know, there's things in the military that are real life. Let me ask this, Darlene, from your experience with a lot of military family, is there a large percentage of evangelicals in today's military?
Yes, and it's growing.
Yep.
And more people coming to Christ.
Yeah, people getting saved in the Army or the different branches of the military, and then as well, a disproportionate number of soldiers, of Marines, of different ones in the armed services are actually evangelical. So that's a major factor. But thank you for calling, and may the Lord grant repentance to a whole lot of people in these coming days.
Thank you.
God bless. All right, let me try to get in one more call. Sandy in Raleigh with a son in the military. Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts, and if you've talked to your son, what he's thinking.
I have talked to him in the past about this, and like some of the other callers, I'd rather not say what branch he's in, just because there is some backlash sometimes when things come out. And he and most of the fellows that he works with are definitely totally against this. I think it's, I've been listening to the other callers, and there's a lot I agree with, and as an evangelical Christian, I really think that this is something that we need to grab hold of. However, I've just been teaching some other young women recently about how we tend to look at big sins and little sins. And in my quiet time this morning, I had that very thing in Romans 3 that homosexuality is a sin, and so is the white lie that we may tell or whatever. But this is one that affects a lot of people in the military in their everyday life. And I think it's definitely a sign of the immorality that has been okayed by our culture. And unfortunately, now the Republicans caved in and gave into something like this that is totally against what most of us voted them in office for.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, Sandy, is what was the big rush? I mean, we're in the midst of two wars now. We're getting casualties from Afghanistan, sometimes on a daily basis, casualties from Iraq. We're embroiled in two wars. This is a major question, or the possibility of people leaving the military or not reenlisting, others not coming in at all. I mean, these are such major issues. Why the rush? Anyway, thanks for the perspective, Sandy. And yes, may we all walk in humility and search our own hearts that we don't just point the finger, but examine ourselves as well.
Right.
Friends, when we come back, I'm going to give you some very important reflections. You don't want to miss them. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast as we are discussing the Senate's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. On a lighter note, but an important note, tomorrow we'll be debating Christmas. Every year there are people who passionately stand for it, and it's wonderful, and it exalts Jesus, and others who passionately stand against it. It's pagan, it's corrupt, it's materialistic. We should have nothing to do with it. So we'll be debating that issue, and you get to weigh in tomorrow right here on the Line of Fire. I may be able to take a couple more calls today. So if you are in the military, if you have family in the military, if you're a vet, or if you are thinking of going into the military, I'd like to hear your take on the Senate's repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Or if you're part of the gay and lesbian community and would like to call in and air your views, the phone lines are open at 866-34-TRUTH. Before I begin to give you my 10 reflections on the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, let me read to you what the Alliance Defense Fund has said, conservative legal group. They issued this statement, quote, "The Senate's cave in to pressure from activists to impose homosexual behavior in our military, replace our troops' religious liberties in unprecedented jeopardy. Indeed, the first official casualty of this hurried vote may well be the religious freedom of chaplains and service members." ADF litigation, counsel Daniel Blomberg went on to say, "No Americans, and especially not our troops, should be forced to abandon their religious beliefs." Elaine Donnelly of the Center for Military Readiness issued a statement on Sunday outlining several issues in the Pentagon's working report, which now must be dealt with. In the Pentagon's working report, page 18, there is a mandate to prohibit the creation of separate bathroom and shower facilities based on sexual orientation. Wow. Prohibit the creation of separate bathroom shower facilities based on sexual orientation. Nancy and I were talking about the TSA regulations and pat-downs, and others had raised this concern as well, that we were told, hey, it's not a problem because it's same-gender pat-downs, that a man would only be pat-down by a man, a woman by a woman. Well, is it same sexual orientation pat-downs? What if a man is being pat-down by a gay man? Wouldn't that be similar to a man being pat-down by a woman? You say, oh, that's stupid. Oh, no, these are real-life issues. The Pentagon's working report, pages 25, 26, speaks of a mandatory three-tiered education program focusing on resistant combat troops to change attitudes and opinions on LGBT issues. It's coming. The re-education, just like diversity education in the workplace, it's coming. Face it, in the military. That's why some have said that the military will become the world's largest homosexual activist organization. Punishments for resistance. That is zero tolerance of anyone who disagrees for any reason, including moral or religious beliefs. Pages 50, 51 of the Pentagon's working group report, etc. Unresolved issues involving marital status, including disparities in benefits and access to family medical care in states that do not recognize same-sex marriages, plus access to military family housing for opposite and same-sex unmarried couples. Pages 19 through 21, unresolved questions about morale and cost related to the retention of HIV-positive personnel who must be retained in non-deployable status under current regulations. Okay, these are certainly major concerns, major issues, and I want to give you 10 reflections, and I'll try to take a few more calls. Okay, number one, I've said this earlier in the broadcast, I'm reiterating it now, this will certainly be a wedge issue for gay activism. Some of you may have been familiar with the Supreme Court decision, Lawrence v. Texas, where the Supreme Court in the 6-3 vote strangely said that sodomy, I'm not going to define it any further because I don't know what little kids might be listening, but that sodomy was a constitutional right. You say, well, people were being put in jail in America, consenting adults for practicing that. So what was the big deal? Ah, because once the decision's made, now, hey, what's wrong with same-sex marriage? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? It becomes a major wedge issue for, quote, gay civil rights. Famous book, After the Ball, which outlined and reiterated some gay activist strategies and how America would change its attitudes towards homosexuals in the 90s, a well-known book, especially in conservative Christian circles, as people have read it and seen the strategies, called After the Ball. Listen to the strategy from the late 80s. First, you get in the door by being as similar as possible. Then, and only when your one little difference, sexual orientation, is finally accepted, can you start dragging in your other peculiarities one by one. You hammer in the wedge, narrow end first. As the saying goes, allow the camel's nose beneath your tent, and his whole body will soon follow. Hence, to quote Kate Kendall again, and there are many similar quotes in the news today, executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights, she said debate over the military policy, quote, ignited a national conversation not just about the ability of lesbians and gay men to be good soldiers, but about the underpinnings of all sorts of government-sanctioned discrimination. Do you understand? You will be told that you are discriminating if you do not fully embrace the goals of gay activism in the coming days. Second point, and then we'll get back to the phones. This will allow us to see what's really going to happen. In other words, sometimes things have to unfold. Sometimes the bad stuff has to unfold so that people can say, all right, are we like Chicken Little saying the sky's falling, or are there real problems? We are going to see, sadly, soon enough, we're going to have to live this out rather than listening to the warnings. And number three, this is another example of our culture's being brainwashed by the media and others. 60 Minutes report, interviewer Leslie Stahl spoke with several gay former military members, December 16, 2007, who say they were also out openly in their units, known to be gay by as many as 100 other service members, none of whom were put off by their homosexuality. Why this enlightened attitude towards gays in the military? And this is from my book, forthcoming, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Former Marine Corps avionics technician Brian Frick explained, they don't care. These are our peers, the Will and Grace generation. They grew up with it in the media. All right, let me go back to the phones here with Juan in Kings Bay, Georgia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire today.
Hey, thanks, yeah. I was in the United States Navy. I also believe in the Word of God. I believe in what the Word says about a man and a woman should be together and be married. And I've actually had a deal firsthand with homosexuals in the military, in basic training, and as a roommate. And it does give a sense of uncomfortability, but you it's like forcing a woman to be a roommate with a guy. She will have to become uncomfortable because there is that potential of unwanted touching, unwanted looking, to know that this person could be possibly attracted to you can make you feel very uncomfortable, and it will make friction within the unit, within the ship, within your division. They think, well, you know, these guys will be professional. We can get through this. Yes, but they also forget the X factor, which is we're human beings as well.
Yes.
And we're human beings of lust. This is why the Word of God warns so much about lust.
And Juan, hey, I've just got to jump in. We've just got 15 okay. seconds before the break. Is there a lot of emotional bonding that just takes place naturally in the services?
Absolutely. When you got your brother in arms with you and you go to a casualty drill and you have to constantly drill with one another, sometimes hands-on, absolutely. It's
yeah.
Family.
Yeah. So that emotional bonding itself, put lust out of the picture. Just the emotional bonding that takes place between two heterosexuals of the same sex is different than the emotional bonding between the opposite sex or the emotional bonding between heterosexual and homosexual. Friends, this is reality. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Line of Fire as we reflect on the Senate's repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell over the weekend. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to weigh in with further comments, go to askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. It is our goal here to be a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a church in compromise and a society in chaos. We're seeking to bring some moral sanity and spiritual clarity to what has happened in our government, in our country, in the last 48 hours. I'm going to get back to your calls. First, let me reiterate that I said this will certainly be a wedge issue for gay activism. That, in a sense, is the biggest issue, as massive as the military issue is itself. Secondly, we're going to see some things fleshed out. We're going to see how this actually affects people. Look, there's the conflict within the military that people must submit to authority. Everything runs by authority and great respect for authority. What do you do when the people over you are going to espouse views that you profoundly differ with? My third point, this is another example of our culture's brainwashing. We have been brainwashed by media. Gay author David Eisenbach said this, more than any other medium, TV has the power to shape and manipulate the conscious and subconscious prejudices of the American public. And those conscious and subconscious prejudices have certainly been altered. Those last words, my comments. Okay, number four, we must remember that we're fighting a spiritual battle. We are not fighting flesh and blood. The Democrats are not our enemies, nor are the Republicans that voted against this our enemies, nor are gays and lesbians in the military our enemies. Our enemies are demonic forces. Our enemy is Satan himself. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and until we see this as more than anything a spiritual battle, we will not see change come. As long as we see this as primarily a political battle or a social battle rather than a spiritual battle, not only will our attention be drawn in the wrong direction, not only will we have wrong attitudes towards people loved by God, but we will be guaranteed to be fighting a losing battle. And number five, we need a resurrection change, not merely cultural improvement. As long as we think, oh, if Congress votes this way, we can make it. Oh, if we're hanging on by a thread. No, forget it. In the natural, the case is closed. In the natural, gay activism has gone way too far in our society. In the natural, we have lost a generation. We need resurrection. In other words, we need to see God intervene in radical ways to the extent we are still looking for improvement within the system, as opposed to God moves or else we are deceiving ourselves. The good news is life comes out of death. The good news is God's resurrection power means all things are possible to the one who believes. All right, Charles in Raleigh, thanks for holding. What's your take on this, sir, with family in the military?
Yes, and I also serve in Desert Storm and in Iraq.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Can they do the job? Yes. Yeah. Will it affect morale? Yes. Unfortunately, will the military get used to that after a while? I believe so. Now, as a chaplain assistant, will the spiritual state of our military worsen? Yes. As a chaplain assistant, I've seen firsthand the morale of our troops at peacetime and combat. And we already have a high rate of drug abuse, alcohol abuse, sexual crimes, and divorces. You could expect all those things to come, maybe even double or three times get worse.
Got it. Charles, I wish I had more time to talk to you. Thank you for the very clear-headed perspective, and may the Lord continue to use you as you serve. Jimmy in Gastonia, you've got a citizen's perspective. Love to hear your views. Hello? All right. Carol, Vietnam veteran traveling somewhere in southern Georgia. Thanks for calling today.
Shalom, Dr. Brown. I'd
Shalom.
Like to thank you for all that you do for everybody, particularly in helping Jewish people to find our Messiah. I appreciate that very much. You were very instrumental in that.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I don't know how I feel about this. Morally, I know it's wrong, but I'll try to tell you quickly a personal story. When I was serving, I got the profession that I wanted in the military. I was traveling up the ranks very rapidly, making E4 in my first year. And it happened one day, shortly before I was deploying, that our regular duty personnel got sick, and a lieutenant commander, female lieutenant commander, was doing wake up that day. Well, there's a rule in the military that when you wake, or at least there was when I served.
Hey Carol, hang on. We've got okay. A break coming. Can you give me the real short version of this?
Yes, yeah, she was homosexual. She touched me, waking me up. I decked her. I was court-martialed and lost my career in the military.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
oh,
so
my.
It triggered very strong emotional reaction.
Oh, well, Carol, may the Lord minister grace to any areas that are still hurting in your life. And may that be a wake-up call to others. Who knows what is coming? But I've got some thoughts. Stay with us. All right, are you ready? My 10 points, 10 reflections on the Senate's repealing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Number one, to repeat, this will certainly be a major wedge issue for gay activism, and that is some of the biggest thing that we have, one of the biggest things we must face. Number two, for better or worse, this thing will now be fleshed out in front of us, and we will see the effects of this in our military. Could it be that the next Congress votes quickly to fight against this? Could be, but this is likely going to unfold in some very serious ways. Let's see what actually happens, and let us pray for awakening in the midst of this. Number three, it's another example of our culture being brainwashed. Hey, were you upset with the movie Breakfast with Scott? You say, well, I don't think I heard about it. Oh, it's a 2008 comedy. It told the story of two gay men, Eric and Sam, been in a committed relationship for 4 years. When they have to take in an 11-year-old boy, he turns out to be more openly gay than they are. How about The Kids Are All Right? Did that one upset you? Say, I don't know about that. Oh, no problem. Wiley Praise movie tells the story of two lesbian women who are comfortably raising their two teenage children. When the children decide to track down the anonymous sperm donor partly responsible for their existence. What I'm saying is this stuff's everywhere out there in the media and movies, TV, and we don't bat an eyelash. Well, it affects culture. It affects people's thinking. Number three, got to remember we're not fighting flesh and blood. This is not a battle against people. And again, I commend every homosexual man or woman that wants to serve in the military for purposes of defending our nation and for the good of our country. Of course, I profoundly differ with them serving openly as homosexual men and women. Number five, we need a resurrection change, not just cultural improvement. I wrote off America well over 20 years ago in terms of it's too late. Barring sweeping revival and the massive conversion of sinners, it's too late for America as we know it, at least for a generation, if not for more, if not for some kind of ultimate judgment, which means I have been looking to God to do the impossible ever since, and my trust has been in Him and not in people. Oh, I grieve over this. I wanted to see the vote go differently. Certainly, I encourage folks to contact Congress and, you know, do what we can within our political system. But, that leads to my next point, which is this. The big problem with the political system is politicians, meaning human beings. Well, is the hope of the church Christians or Jesus? Do you get my point? Is the hope of society Christian leaders or Jesus? But when we look to the political system, we're looking to people. So there's a big thing. Scott Brown gets in, big shift in Massachusetts. Well, he then goes against earlier commitments, as I understand it, and votes to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Oh, we'll replace him who with another human being. That's the problem with the political system. So we're involved with it, but our trust cannot be in the political system. All right. Number seven is that we cannot live with the mentality that we're merely putting our fingers in a collapsing dike. The kingdom will triumph, and we are blessed when we are witnesses. In other words, rather than thinking, it's all collapsed. No. The kingdom of God is advancing in the earth. Oh, a lot of bad stuff is happening, and things with serious implications are happening. I grieve over them. But the kingdom of God is advancing, and ultimately the kingdom of God will triumph, and Jesus will return and set up his kingdom. And as long as we are obedient witnesses, we are blessed by God. Next, number eight, Jesus didn't die to keep homosexuals out of the military. It's bigger than that. Let's remember it's bigger than that. Number nine, when we can rally believers to fast and pray for revival in the Great Commission, the way we rally them for political and social issues, we will see revival and awakening. When we can rally believers to fast and pray for revival in the Great Commission, the way we rally them for political and social issues, we will see revival and awakening. All the urgency, act now, stand out. How about e-blast saying 100,000 people died today without Jesus? How about e-blast? Missionaries need it in these parts of the country where there's one missionary for every million people. Maybe then, when we begin to put things in a bigger perspective, we will begin to see results. And last point, the biggest, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. His lordship is not affected, not threatened. And he is not worried right now. As we commune with him, in the midst of us being upset over this vote, as we commune with him, we will worship him, praise him, get his strategy, and move forward.